It's Friday, November 26th, 2021. It is the day after Thanksgiving, and this is an all-new episode of No Turning Back with Shannon Young. And hey, that's me. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight, as I am every week. And first off, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you guys had a wonderful time with family. If you know me personally, or if you follow me on Facebook, you probably saw I posted a less than enthusiastic message about Thanksgiving, and it was a joke. Mostly. I do wish and hope that you guys did have a fantastic Thanksgiving, though. And today is Black Friday. You know what that means. It means stay home. It means stay home in general, because we're going to talk about the COVID virus here in just a second, because, of course, we can talk about the COVID virus. But first off, I truly hope that you all stayed home and didn't take part in the Black Friday festivities. I, myself, little history lesson for you guys that don't know me, I worked for GameStop for many, many years. And after I worked at GameStop, I worked for Shoe Carnival for about a year, year and a half. And then I worked for Gaming Grounds, which is a local independent video game store right here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And I can tell you, after working at these places for altogether probably, oh God, it's going to depress me, probably about 15, 16 years between the three places, that I suffered through Black Friday for 16 years. Every year. And some places were certainly better than others. Shoe Carnival was only slightly chaotic. I mean, their shoes, not a lot of people are rushing out to get shoes on Christmas, so it wasn't so bad. Gaming Grounds, since it was a smaller independent store, wasn't as bad because, you know, most people were going to the big shops. Although we did get pretty busy. And the worst part about Gaming Grounds is, unlike some other big box retailers, we didn't have the hours to, you know, multi-staff. So I was lucky if I had an extra person there with me to take on the crowds, but it wasn't that bad. Now, however, GameStop was an absolute nightmare. Anybody that's ever worked retail will tell you that Black Friday is the worst day of the year, but especially at a place like GameStop, where you have the most angry, entitled people that want to come in and yell at you because you don't have a new system, you don't have a new game. They still want to trade things in because I guess they don't realize that it's Black Friday and it's the busiest shopping day of the year, so why not bring in four bags of PS2 games to get, you know, $10 and then complain about that to whoever's working like they set the prices. GameStop was an absolute nightmare to work for on Black Friday. Although, from what I understand, I mean, it's been years since I've been there, but from what I understand, you could pretty much just cut that off at GameStop is a nightmare to work for. But that's not this show. That's not what we're talking about tonight. I do hope that you stayed home, not just because shopping on Black Friday is, one, it's a nightmare for the people working. Two, it's a nightmare for you because you have to be in that crowded spot with a bunch of very entitled, angry people for the most part. And three, you know, Black Friday is, to me, everything that's wrong with people. Because on Thanksgiving, we all, and this is part of what my Facebook message was, on Thanksgiving, we all get together. Well, you guys get together. I don't. I don't have any family. He is well documented. I have two cousins, one in California and one, I believe, in Colombia that I care about. But we don't see each other for the holidays. My parents are dead, and the rest of my family I have chosen never to speak to again. So I don't get together. We used to get together for like a Friendsgiving thing at Gaming Grounds. We would all play video games and have fun throughout the day, but with COVID and everything, that ended, you know, last year. So I didn't do it. But for the most part, people get together with their families. It's a warm, loving environment. I remember those warm, loving days back when my parents were still alive. And it's this just sweet holiday embrace. It's really nice. It's really nice. I have memories of, you know, watching football with my dad while mom was in the kitchen cooking. I said grace. Can't believe I said grace, but I said grace. So it was nice. And then, you know, even in my later years with the very, you know, a couple of people that I dated, I would go to their homes for Thanksgiving. Even after my parents had passed away, I would have Thanksgiving dinner with their family. And it was nice. It gave me that warm feeling. But the day after that warm feeling is gone, we all forget our humanity and we go back to what, for the most part, a lot of us really are. Consumerist monsters that are out there just trying to get the best deal. I remember a story once that my friend Melissa told me where she was in Walmart on Black Friday and literally saw two people getting in a fight over bath towels. And that's what my post was yesterday by Facebook. It was, enjoy this warm together moment right now, because tomorrow you're going to be ripping each other apart at 6 a.m. for 10% off of bath towels. She saw these people stealing things out of other people's carts. She saw people fighting over bath towels. And it's like, is this what humanity is? Is this what we have to offer? That we fight over bath towels to save a couple of dollars? Black Friday is the embodiment of greed and selfishness. And what's really terrible about it, and I know this doesn't feel like this is a topic for this show, but hey, why not? What's really terrible about it is that we do these things in the pursuit of our best traits, giving. So we take these things and we go out there and we strangle each other and we stab each other and we knock each other over to grab these little trinkets and gifts to give people at Christmas because we love them so much and we want them to be happy. It's crazy, isn't it? You would stab your neighbor in the back to get little Susie cream cheese, a doll, or an assault rifle. I don't know what you get kids these days. And you would attack and just knock your closest friends and relatives to the ground to get it for them. All in the spirit of giving in the name of Jesus. Look, I used to love Christmas. I did. Christmas, the whole holiday season was fantastic and I loved it. But that was when my mother was alive. When my mother was alive, we would always put the Christmas tree up on the day after Thanksgiving. This is also before I worked retail. And if you've ever worked retail, you know how it will just suck the soul out of you at the holiday season. You know what I'm talking about. But when my mom passed away, I lost some of that magic. Dad was never a Christmas person. Dad was never a holiday person. He never put up any decorations. He never bought gifts. Mom bought all the gifts. I remember when Mom passed away, I think the only one or two Christmases I can remember after that that Dad even celebrated, he would give me $50, which I greatly appreciated because, especially as an adult, if I want something, I'll just buy it. But not really the spirit of the season, you know? But other than that, the Christmas spirit has mostly eluded me, and especially now. You know, I'm in my My Chemical Romance period of my life right now, I think. So I question a lot of things, and it's hard to look at this holiday season as anything other than, now that's what I call fucking yikes, you know? Especially because, let's get into the first topic of the night, and that is because the COVID virus is still here, and of course it is. When you've got half the country that doesn't want to get vaccinated, of course the coronavirus is still around. COVID is the number one gift on everyone's list this year. And whether you want it or not, there's a good chance you're going to get it. It is this year's fruitcake. It's this year's coal in the stocking. But it's not just regular COVID. As you know, COVID has been definitely not corralled. That would be a bad term for it. But we have seen improvements. Even in states where improvements shouldn't be seen, like Florida, where Ron DeSantis is the Grinch that stole everyone's health. Because even in Florida, we're seeing better numbers for COVID. It's like they're doing okay in spite of themselves. And that's all across, well, most of the country. There are some states where it's actually getting worse, but people are getting vaccinated. People are being smart. They're being respectful. Even people that I know that don't want to get the shot are at least, you know, staying 6 feet away from people. They're doing their best to try not to infect people. If they do feel sick, if they get sick, they stay home. So they are making some effort at least. But just when you thought that maybe we're on the right track and we can get back to normalcy, because by the way, I don't know if you realize this, and every time I think about this, I get real sad, which is saying something, because usually when you're on the bottom floor, you can't go further down. But what makes me really sad is the thought that we have now been dealing with COVID for almost 2 years. And I know that because 2020 was easily, aside from when my mother passed away, the worst year of my life. And I remember a lot about that year. That is a terrible anniversary that I wish I could forget, but we are still dealing with it almost 2 years later. And it's gonna get worse. And here's why. For all the vaccinations, for all the precautions that we're taking here in America, we can't control what happens in other countries, obviously. Pretty sure we've tried. And they're finding variants everywhere. And apparently now there's a new variant coming out of South Africa that is called B11529. They've confirmed 87 cases of this new variant. 77 in South Africa, 6 in Botswana, 2 in Hong Kong, and one each in Israel and Belgium, though hundreds more diagnoses are expected. Dr. Fauci, who is the face of this war against the coronavirus, for better or worse, the poor bastard, he said it's literally something that in real time we're learning more and more about. Concerns about this variant have already prompted the UK, Europe, and India to propose travel restrictions from South Africa, and the World Health Organization is urging calm, saying it's premature to close borders. Now, there are thousands of COVID-19 variants, with new ones emerging all the time, and usually new variants disappear quickly because they're overrun by a more dominant strain. The now dominant Delta variant is so highly transmissible that most of the new variants that have cropped up in recent months have been unable to gain a foothold. In the United States, the Delta variant comprises an estimated 99.9% of all cases. So it's scary. It's scary to think about that we've been dealing with this terrible virus for almost 2 years, and it could get worse. The mutations in these variants are going to make it harder and harder for us to protect ourselves, which is why it is so important to get vaccinated. It's so important to take these precautions to keep everybody safe. And look, I get it. I don't like wearing the mask. I still wear the mask, even though I don't have to, I guess. I don't even know anymore. I still wear the mask every time I go out. I wear the mask at work in my 9-to-5. I try to stay 6 feet away from people. If I don't feel good, I avoid people. But I I'm vaccinated. Proud to say I am vaccinated. And no mutant powers, nothing's grown on me. I'm perfectly fine. Just vaccinated. I'm going to get my booster soon. But I get where it's frustrating. Because originally they told us, you know, wear your mask and you'll be fine. And we weren't fine. We still got sick. Now, a lot of that is because a lot of you, probably not the people listening to this show, you guys have a pretty good level head on you. But a lot of people didn't wear the mask. They didn't do 6 feet apart. And they still complained about, you know, what we were trying to, quote unquote, make them do. Freedom of speech or freedom of body. I don't know what it is. I don't care. It's ridiculous. It's selfish. So then they said, get the vaccination and it will protect you. Once we get vaccinated, everything will go back to normal. So over half the country has been vaccinated. A good portion of the country has been vaccinated. And despite those vaccinations, people still got sick. People were still getting the COVID virus. And they said, okay, well, those are breakthrough cases. And that narrative has seemed to change from those are breakthrough cases to, okay, yeah, you're still going to get COVID, but it definitely lessens the impact of it. And it makes it harder to spread. But people are still getting COVID. It numbers are down, but it's hard to convince people that it's still worth going to all these lengths, because it doesn't feel like anything's really working. Like, we're just kind of going through the motions and we're just going through this until we don't have to go through it anymore. But I would say it is definitely important to still get vaccinated. I mean, anything that will help will help. And I used to get so mad about this topic. I used to get so angry because it felt like the easy answer was just get vaccinated. Just get vaccinated, you idiot. If you get vaccinated, we can get back to normal, whatever the hell that is anymore. But as time goes on and you see all these different complications and these variants and stuff like that, it almost feels like we are never going to get past this. And it's very easy to throw your hands up in frustration and say, well, this is never going to change. To hell with it. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to sit in fear. I'm not going to stay at home when I could be out doing things and enjoying life. And look, I get that, man. Now more than ever, I feel like I need to get out and enjoy life because I have been very shut in for the past year and a half, close to 2 years, for various reasons. But you have to be smart. The smarter we are, the more we take care of each other, the faster we will get out of this, the faster we will face down threats like this new variant, and we can get back to normal life. And in a couple years, on Black Friday, we can get back to those classic days of seeing each other at Walmart at 5 a.m. when they bring out the crate full of, you know, video game systems and they peel it off and people start punching each other just trying to grab it because it's so hard to get. Especially now, I'm honestly glad and happy news. I managed to get a PlayStation 5. That is something to be proud of and happy about. And I kept saying, man, I wish they would just put them in store. If they put them in store, these bots and these scalpers, it would be almost impossible for them to get a hold of these things. But I'm also so glad that they didn't do that, because can you imagine the chaos and the absolute destruction that would have happened if Walmart had wheeled out a crate full of PlayStation 5s on Black Friday? It would have been a massacre. So even though it was more trouble than I think it was probably worth, considering there's literally one game I want to play on it right now, and that's Demon's Souls, which I bought today. I bought my first PlayStation 5 game because it was on sale. Yes, I went to Best Buy on Black Friday. I dropped Lindsay off at work, and I decided to go, you know, see what was up, because I haven't been out in that Black Friday environment in so long. I wanted to remember what it was like to be around so many people, and I absolutely hated it. The anxiety. I literally, as I'm walking in, I see all these people walking in. Nobody's wearing masks. Inside, a couple people were, but for the most part, nobody's wearing masks. And I'm just, in my head, I'm just thinking, you're a bunch of infected rats. You're all infected, and you're going to get everybody sick. I was Mr. Burns from the episode where he created the casino, and I'm sitting there with my giant beard, and I have tissue boxes on my feet. They're my shoes. Anyway, we'll get back to normal. We just have to take care of each other. Point is, be safe. Stay inside. If you need to shop on Black Friday, do it online. That's where I got my PlayStation. And everyone's going to be okay, and we'll all be fine, and we'll get through this. Let's move on. Our main topic tonight, we're going to talk about justice here on the show. A couple of weeks ago, actually last week, because time... Guys, do you guys still believe in time? The crazy concept. Last week, Kyle Rittenhouse was found innocent of all charges after murdering two people during the Jacob Blake protests. I was very angry about that. I don't know if you guys listened to that show. I hope you did, but I was very angry about that. And I knew that it was going to get worse. I knew it was going to get worse because Ahmaud Arbery's trial was, I believe, either had or was about to go into deliberation. And I thought, man, when these three guys are found not guilty of murdering this young black man who was just running down the street, that town is going to burn. The country might burn. So when I heard that the jury had gone into deliberations and they were coming out with a verdict, I thought, well, this is going to be a good holiday treat, watching America burn before Christmas. Maybe it needs to. I don't know at this point. But to my surprise, as someone messaged me, all three men were convicted and face a minimum of life in prison for what they did. Now, in case you don't remember this, how could you not? I don't know how you could not know this case, but Ahmaud Arbery was running down the street in Georgia. I believe it was Georgia. And there apparently had been some break-ins in a house recently that was under construction. Apparently, somebody saw him near this place, and these three good old boys, actually two good old boys, and then one joined in later, but it was a father and son, Travis McMichael, who was the one that shot and killed Arbery, and Greg McMichael, his father, chased after him, was quickly joined by a neighbor, Roddy, William Roddy Bryan. First off, okay, I know we're going to talk about some serious things here, but this has always struck me about this case. Every time I see them talking about this, they talk about Greg McMichael, they talk about Travis McMichael, and then it's always the same thing. It's never William Bryan. It's always William, quote-unquote, Roddy Bryan. Is it so important that we know his nickname? I don't know William Bryan. If you told me William Bryan was also being charged in this, and I went, I have no idea who that is. And they go, oh, you, Roddy. I go, oh, Roddy, right. No, most of America doesn't know or care that his nickname is Roddy. So I never understood why we felt the need to always put his nickname on there. But whatever. They chased him down and confronted him. They tried to do a citizen's arrest, I guess. It went poorly because, of course, he was not doing anything wrong. Travis McMichael had a shotgun. They fought over the shotgun. Travis McMichael shot him and killed him. And William Roddy, well, I call him Roddy. You guys might know him as William Bryan, but I call him Roddy. I'm just going to call him Roddy from now on. Roddy ended up recording it. He, quote unquote, helped join the pursuit and cut off Arbery's escape. Arbery's escape, insinuating that he committed a crime. He was just trying to escape some guys that were chasing him with weapons. There was a 13-day trial in Glynn County in Georgia. The jury was made up of 11 white people and one black person. The charges, 9-count indictment, charged all three men with 1 count of malice murder, 4 counts of felony murder, 2 counts of aggravated assault, 1 count of false imprisonment, and 1 count of criminal attempt to commit a felony. Travis McMichael, the man that pulled the trigger, was convicted of all charges, all 9 charges. His father, Greg McMichael, was convicted of all charges except malice murder. And Roddy, my good buddy Roddy, was convicted of 3 counts of felony murder, 1 count of aggravated assault, 1 count of false imprisonment, and 1 count of criminal attempt to commit a felony. I struggled with his conviction a little. There's part of me that thinks that... I don't know. I don't think... I'd like to say I don't think any of them intended to chase him down and kill him. I'd like to say that. Especially Roddy. Because, you know, Roddy recorded it. He didn't have a weapon. And he was still convicted for felony murder. But, you know, it says if you are part of what caused it, and he was definitely part of what caused it, I'd like to think that they didn't go out there to shoot and kill him. That maybe they really were trying to protect their neighborhood. But what were they protecting their neighborhood from? An innocent black person running down the street? That is the fear. That is the climate that we create where that is something that we're afraid of, is just a black person being black. That's the problem. They, you know, a lot of people try to argue with me and say that racism doesn't exist in America like it did all those years ago. And I think that's absolutely not true, because you have situations like this where you have people who are, quote unquote, protecting their neighborhoods from a black person. It's very much like Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin was killed for being black and for being in a neighborhood where someone thought that he didn't belong, which is insane. Now, he, the person that shot Trayvon Martin, I'm not going to say his name, he was let go, faced no charges. In fact, lives a full racist life. Thankfully, for once, someone made the right decision, and all three of these men were convicted. And I was so scared that it was going to go the other way, especially after the Rittenhouse verdict. Because Rittenhouse, again, this sounds terrible, but you have to keep in mind, I'm not playing this from what's right and what's wrong. I'm playing this from what's likely, which is usually bad. But Kyle Rittenhouse killed 2 white people and injured a third. It almost feels like he would be more likely to be convicted, because America has shown time and time again that even though they say otherwise, the life of a black person doesn't seem to matter as much to them. So when Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty, I thought there was no way in hell that the McMichaels and Roddy was going to be convicted, especially by an almost all-white jury. Then when the verdict came out that they were all guilty, I didn't cry. I didn't even cheer. It was a victory, but it feels, I don't know, empty. It's an empty victory considering how many other people are suffering, but it's still a victory. I put it on my Facebook. It's a small victory in a bigger war. And it's a war that I'm hoping, as generations go on and the youth of today and the youth of tomorrow get further and further away from that old boy way of thinking, that black people are the enemy, that they're in some way less significant or less intelligent, that they are anything other than human beings just like everybody else. That is my hope and desire and wish. I don't know if I'll ever see that day, but that is the hope. So what is going to happen to the McMichaels and Roddy? Well, malice and felony murder convictions both carry a minimum penalty of life in prison. The judge will decide whether that comes with or without the possibility of parole, but even if the possibility of parole is granted, a person convicted of murder must serve 30 years before becoming eligible. Multiple murder convictions are merged for the purposes of sentencing. So with everything put in together, they're going to serve life in prison. The question is whether or not there is a chance of parole. But you also have to remember that next, it's not over for them because they still face federal charges for hate crimes. The federal indictment on that says that they targeted Arbery because he was black. So even if they did get the possibility of parole in this case, which I highly doubt, they're more than likely going to be convicted on hate crimes too. And once they're convicted on hate crimes, I mean, that's it for the McMichaels and Roddy. And you almost want to feel... No, you don't. I was going to say you almost want to feel bad for them, but you don't. I think we are so desensitized to things like this now that when we hear that someone was killed, it's just another fact. It's just another fact in the story. It doesn't even raise an eyebrow anymore. Kyle Rittenhouse kills two people and injures a third, and it doesn't matter. Ahmaud Arbery was killed, and there was a good chance that it was going to feel like it didn't matter, because so many times throughout history, especially in the past 10 years, how many times have you heard about some unjust killing, some unjust murder of a black person, that the cop gets away with it, the person gets away with it, whoever it is gets away with it, like their lives just don't matter. In this particular case, the almost all-white jury did the right thing. They convicted. And for once, I don't have to come on this show and yell and scream and cuss because of how outraged I am that they chose the wrong thing. Instead, I'll save my outrage for this last story I want to tell you about. The prosecutor in the Arbery trial said something that I thought was a little odd. She said that the jury system works. I'm paraphrasing. The jury system works, and when you present the truth to a jury, they choose the right thing. Kind of shadows what Joe Biden said, President Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, when he said that the jury system works and we have to stand by it. It doesn't. A lot of the times. And just because she won this case, and in this particular case, yes, justice was done, doesn't mean that justice is always done. And it certainly does not mean that the system works. And in that case, I want to tell you about Kevin Strickland. Do you know Kevin Strickland? Have you heard his story? Kevin Strickland is 62 years old. And in 1979, he was convicted of killing three people in Kansas City, Missouri, and sentenced to life in prison. Kevin Strickland was released not too long ago after they proved that he was an innocent man. The judge dismissed all the convictions, everything against him, and fully pardoned him. Or fully let him go. Exonerated him. And Kevin Strickland, I would say, walked out a free man. Unfortunately, he's in a wheelchair. But he left jail and was free. It's infuriating enough to know that Kevin Strickland spent 42 years in jail for a crime he did not commit. The two people that did plead guilty to the murders said that Strickland was not involved, and that a fingerprint from the shotgun used in the murders belonged to someone else. The witness, the sole survivor of the crime, Cynthia Douglas, did say that Strickland was there, but she said later that she was pressured into giving his name as the perpetrator, and she attempted several times over her life to recant her testimony before she tragically passed away in 2015. So Kevin Strickland spent 42 years in jail. Imagine that. That's longer than my lifespan now. Imagine if you spent... He was convicted when he was 18. Imagine spending 42 years in jail. Having your life taken from you like that for a crime you did not commit. And you hear about it all the time. And it never gets easier. And the most infuriating part, as someone that lives in Missouri, and this is a Missouri case, is the fact that because Kevin Strickland was not exonerated through a very specific DNA test, he is not eligible for any compensation from the state. Kevin Strickland spent 42 years in jail for a crime he did not commit. And the state of Missouri basically let him out and said, good luck. And because he's not a parolee, they will not help him find employment. They will not help him find health care. The state of Missouri will do literally nothing for him. Missouri literally let him out and said, good luck, with nothing to his name. In other states that are, I don't know the right word for it, better, more kind, more just, I don't know. They set aside money for each year that a person was imprisoned wrongfully. But in Missouri, which I believe has a $35,000 per year, because he did not fit the criteria of exoneration by this very specific DNA test, he gets absolutely nothing. So imagine being 62 years old, getting out of jail, getting out of prison, after 42 years of serving wrongfully convicted sentence, and having nothing to your name. His mother passed away. He got to visit her grave for the first time when he got out of jail. He has no money. He has no possessions. He was convicted wrongfully. And he has nothing. He has to start his life over at 62 years old with nothing. That is something that I could rage about for hours. It's disgusting when you hear things like that, and then you think about these people that say the system works, juries work. Maybe they're right. Maybe juries do work if presented with factual evidence. Maybe the police system is broken. We know it is. Maybe the court systems are broken. We know it is. When you take it all together, there is no way in hell that you can honestly say the system works. At least it doesn't work if you're a certain kind of person. Then you can probably guess what kind of person that is. Now, I don't want to leave you guys on a bad note. I don't want to leave you with an absolutely soul-shattering story. So we'll say this. Kevin Strickland, they did start a GoFundMe for him with the simple goal of, I think, $7,000, $8,000, kind of enough to get him back on his feet in a start. I'm happy to say that that has exceeded over $1 million as of this morning. So Kevin Strickland should not have to rely on the kindness of strangers to take care of him now that the system fucked him over for 40 plus years. But thankfully, the kindness of strangers has helped him when the state would not. When the state of Missouri said, sorry, we took your life from you for something you didn't do, but you get nothing. The kindness of strangers and others has picked up the slack. So if you need something to remind you that maybe not all humanity is terrible, and that maybe it is okay to feel the holiday spirit on Black Friday when the worst of us are out there right now pushing each other around to save some money on a TV, you can think of people like Kevin Strickland, who spent 40 plus years in jail for a crime he didn't commit, and you can think of all the people that are coming together to help give him a life at 62. It's a terrible story, but at least the ending isn't as terrible. And that's going to do it for us here today. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of No Turning Back. I love you very, very much. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode, all new things to rant about. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Let's start the holiday season off right. Smile, be happy, try to find some joy in this world. That's what I'll be doing. Until next week, my friends, take care of yourselves. I'll see you then. Later.